Joshua chapter 14. We've come to the part of the story of the Exodus where the Jews have entered into the promised land. And they've started to accomplish, well, in chapter 14, they've really accomplished the goal of taking over Israel and Judah. So we go back to Numbers chapter 13 and 14, where God told Moses, and it's important to remember that God told Moses, send 12 spies into the land. And they go into the land, they search the land. And I don't know if you've ever really given a lot of thought to that. I mean, here are 12 people on foot, in secret, going into this land, however far they can go. We know that they at least went 120 miles. So in 40 days, this group of men, or at least a portion of them, traveled of that distance, 120 miles. Mountainous range all over the land, looking at it, evaluating it, evaluating the villages, the cities, the people, the landscape, all of it, to understand what is it about this land that they've traveled now 40 years to get to. Well, at that point, it was only a month, but by the end of it, they traveled 40 years to get to it. They reached Hebron toward the end of the journey. That's, in fact, when we read about the Brook of Eshcol, which is named because of the cluster of grapes. Remember, that cluster of grapes was so big that they put it on a post and they carried it between two people. That's how big the cluster of grapes was. That's the region of Hebron. And it's in the mountains west of the Dead Sea. And so as you're in Hebron, it's actually because it's in the mountains up in the top, you can travel from Jerusalem across Hebron down to Egypt. So it was a travel route. So it was well established. In fact, one of the most, one of the longest established cities in Israel. It also is the place where Abraham bought a parcel of land, a cave, so he could bury his wife. He's also buried there. Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah, all buried there. You may recall that Rachel is not buried there. She's buried in Bethlehem. But for the cave of Machpelah in the city of Hebron, that's, and remember, all that's happened before now, before Caleb and the spies get to Hebron, that's already happened. They've already been buried there. And so this city had some significance. And when Caleb got there, number one, he knew of that city because it was run by three of the sons of Anak. Okay, these are the giants. So these Anakims, these giants, ruled that city. And so it was a strong city. Nobody would dare to go and try to conquer Hebron. But when Caleb was there, he noted it and he said, I like this place. I mean, the grapes, all the other vegetation there, the height of it, again, probably a cooler place because of its height. The vegetation, the buildings already built. I mean, if you're going to take over a city, get one that's already built, right? And it's well accomplished. And by the way, I bet the beds there were pretty long since the giants lived there, right? So plenty of room, doors were tall and all that kind of stuff. But in verse 1 of chapter 14, it says, these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. You imagine this. You've gone 40 years. You get to this land. You've gone in and you've won it. There's still some people living there, but it's yours now. And they sit around a table and they have a map of it and they go, where do you want to be? Right? So I want this section. And so they take out a section. I want this, and they take out a section. Okay? Verse 2, by lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half, on the other side, Jordan. So pause there just a second. Remember, there were some, when they wanted to go across Jordan to conquer the land, there were some who said, you know, I mean, we'll go fight with you, but we like it here, right? We just kind of like to stay here on this side of Jordan. And why not? The Jordan Valley is very lush. It's a lot of, in fact, maybe you consider this, Israel, especially the Jordan Valley, is a lot like Florida. Oranges, watermelons, avocados, all the great stuff that we can grow here, they grow there. So when you go to the market in Israel, it's like going to a farmer's market in Florida. That's the kind of stuff that grow there. But 2.5 tribes stayed east of Jordan, but they had to go fight with the others west of Jordan. So they went in, they conquered the land. They've now divided up to 9.5 tribes. And verse 3, note this, the Levites, he gave none inheritance among them. The Levites, who are the Levites? They are the ones who take care of the tabernacle, the temple. They're the priests. But he says, they don't have an inheritance. What they have are cities and suburbs out of which they minister, but it was not about them having an inheritance. This, if you were not a Levite, you couldn't stay there. You had to be a Levite. And so they were the ministers. They were the priests. Verse 4, the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore, they gave no part to the Levites in the land, save the cities to dwell in with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then, verse 6, the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, now this is Caleb's testimony, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the spies that came back from their journey and said, God has given us this land, let's take it. The 10 spies said, there's no way we can win this. The people are too big, the cities are fortified, they're too strong, we're like bread to them, we're like grasshoppers to them. There's no way we can conquer this land, no way. In fact, they almost stoned Moses over it and Aaron. You brought us up here to the edge of this place, now we can't have it. And they were going to stone Moses and Aaron. Joshua and Caleb did not relent. They said, God gave us this land. If God says we can do it, we can do it. If God says we can have it, we can have it. We need people of faith like that, don't we? Who don't look at the obstacles, don't look at the circumstances, but they just trust God. Just trust God. And so, as Caleb speaks to Joshua, he says, you remember what God told Moses about the two of us. Verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. You notice, I can't speak for you. I don't know what you're seeing going on in the world today. I can only speak from me. What's in my heart? What do I see? And so Caleb says, all I could do is say what was on my heart. What does that mean? He wasn't influenced by those other 10. He didn't let them discourage him. He didn't let peer pressure control him. In his heart, God said we can have it, and he went into it on day one believing God said we can have it. And he came out on day 40 and said, God said we can have it. That's it. He just kept believing all the way through. Now, verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, I was curious as I read this to note that 45 years later, after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, conquering the land for another 5, that Caleb was able to look back on those people that robbed him of 45 years of his life in a place where God told him he could live, and he said, they're my brothers, my brethren. Well, that's amazing. Some people have a heart of forgiveness, don't they? A heart of mercy, a heart of love. And I don't know about you, but looking back on 45 years of my life and say, you robbed me of this. Man, we could have been living here instead of walking through the desert fighting with every village along the way. But he said, they're my brothers. We disagreed, but they're my brothers. We need that today, don't we? Especially today. Guys, there's so much anger, so much hatred, and so much fighting that we need to still, even if we disagree, be able to say, hey, that's my brother. I love them. They're my brother. We disagree on this, but they're my brothers. And he says, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. He had conviction. He had faith. He had trust. I just believed God with all my heart, he says. Verse 9. And Moses, not only did he have faith, he had a memory, didn't he? He says, Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. So that was Caleb's testimony of himself. That was Moses' testimony of Caleb, that he wholly followed God. And he said, wherever your feet have trodden. And I don't know on that day if it automatically stuck in Caleb's heart. But at some point, probably that day, or maybe even before that when he was there, he looked at Hebron and he said, I want to be here. How many of you ever go to the mountains and say, I'd like to live here? I see one going, no way, no way. But Caleb did, man. He wanted to live there. And he had it in his heart. And for 45 years, he never lost that dream. For 45 years, through all the struggles, being hungry, being thirsty, listening to all the complainers. How many of you have complainers around you? Right? Don't point any fingers, but how many of you have some around you? And man, they just want to crush your dreams and bring you down. And man, you got to wake up. You got to look at what's really going on here. And you're living in the clouds. Your head's in the clouds. And you got to stop talking about this. People are going to think you're crazy, right? Yeah. Caleb lived with that for 45 years. Verse 10. Now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years since the Lord spake this word to Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. By the way, think about this. He's probably the oldest one besides Joshua. Now, I know the Levites were not under the same curse, but when you look around at all the people that 85 years wandering through that wilderness, and Caleb is 85 years old, and he says, look, I made it. That's not it. Look at what he says next. Verse 11. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in that day Moses sent me. How many of you are strong now as you were when you were 40 years old? Right? He says, 45 years later, I got the same strength. He's ready to take any, he'll arm wrestle anybody. I mean, he's ready to go. He's ready to climb a mountain, fight a lion, fight a giant, whatever it takes. He said, I'll do it. I'm not scared. 45 years later, at 85 years old, Caleb still had the faith, the confidence, the courage. I believe he had done it. I believe he really meant it. He had it in him. I'm as strong this day as I was then. Even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now remember what Moses said. We just looked at that. Moses said, now, okay, he's 120, but he said, I can no longer go in or come out. He said, I'm wore out. But the Bible said his eyes were not dim, nor his natural force abated. So the Bible says Moses still had the strength at 120 that he did in that day. So Caleb says, I still got it. And let me just give you a word of caution. If an 85-year-old looks at you and says, I still got it, you better believe him. Look at what he says in verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. He wanted that mountain. He wanted that place. Whereof the Lord spake in that day. And thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Yes, hey. They had already conquered. We could go back and look at it. It's Joshua chapter 11, verse 21. At that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Deborah, from Anab, from all the mountains of Judah, from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. Verse 22, there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. So there were still giants. But the leaders in Hebron, they were done. In fact, it rehearses the whole story of how that happened. How these kings of these villages got together and went to war and got beat. In fact, they ran into a cave to hide, and they got them there. But Caleb said, I don't care if there's giants. You're not scaring me by telling me there's giants. Look, God said I could have that mountain. Moses said where my feet were, I could have it. And I believe him. I believe what Moses, the man of God, said, and I believe it came from God. And so at 85 years old, I'm able to go in there. I'll lead the people to war, and we'll go knock them giants out, and we're taking it. If you give it to me, right? Because this is where they're casting lots. This is where they're dividing the land. And he says, that's the part I want right there. That mountain, that's what I want. And there's still work to do. Guys, when we think about the promises of God, don't think there's no work involved. Right? Our sins are washed away. But if we're going to have the life that God has promised us, we got to work for it. We've got to discipline ourselves. We've got to cut some things out. We've got to work towards some things. We've got to make a difference. Verse 13, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Why? Look at verse 14. Because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Caleb wanted that city. This, to Caleb, was the prize. I don't know about all the other land. Now, we just read there are some cities where there's still giants, it says in chapter 11. We know there were giants in Hebron. But I wonder if, while Hebron had the best land and the best fruit, the best crop of the valley and the mountains of the land, I wonder if that's the one that everybody got so excited about, and then when they saw the cities and they saw the giants, that's what discouraged the whole thing. I wonder if that's the place they got, and they said, guys, you know, we kept going because it looked like maybe we could do it. But notice when they reached Hebron, that's the end of the road. They started working their way back 120 miles from where they started. And I believe that when they got to that city, that was what just convinced them they couldn't do it. Guys, there's always going to be obstacles. There's always going to be discouragements. There's always going to be critics. And so when we have that hope from God and that promise from God, that vision, that purpose from God, we need to believe God. Because there's always going to be somebody there to talk us out of it, if they can. But Caleb, when he saw that place and he heard the way they talked about it and they got back and they said, there's no way we can do it. He said, I'm going to tell you what, I can't wait till I go back and live there. I'm going to go get in the biggest giantest house there is and the biggest giant's bed, and I'm going to sleep there knowing I beat you all. Because why? Because I believed God. Because I wholly followed the Lord my God. Y'all are a bunch of quitters and y'all are a bunch of cowards and you gave up, but not me, man. I just trusted God. Yes, there were giants. Yes, it was hard. Yes, the 45 years of waiting was hard. How many of you want to wait 45 years for anything? We can't see that far, can we? But he says he trusted God. Guys, there's one thing we must rest assured in, is that our hope is in God. There'll be plenty of people that say that what we believe is not real. Plenty of people say there is no heaven, that there is no forgiveness, that there is no purpose of this life, that we somehow as minnows and tadpoles and frogs climbed up out of the ocean millions of years ago and grew legs and tails and feet and hands and climbed trees until we decided that got old, and then we just started opening banks and stuff, right? Let me tell you something. There was a purpose when God said, let there be light. And there's a purpose today. And we know that when God sent his only begotten Son to die on that cross, he did it for a purpose, and that was to save our souls, to redeem us to him, that we could be gathered to him in heaven. And so when we accept God's grace and ask God's forgiveness for our sin, he's the one that made the law, and we know the law makes sense, don't we? You say, I don't really know if the law makes sense. Well, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. You don't think those make sense? Yeah, it makes sense. So we put our trust in God for the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. He washes our sins away when we pray and ask him. And then if it takes 45 years to get there, we wait. Through all the obstacles and all the critics and all the hardships, we trust him. So that when we get there, we can say, I wholly follow the Lord my God. I was outnumbered. I was shouted down. I was talked over. I was humiliated. And then I climbed up in that giant's bed and went to sleep. Because I wholly followed the Lord my God. He wanted what they said was impossible. He never thought it was impossible because he believed God. He got there through two things. Faith sustained him and obedience. If he'd have said, well, you know, Joshua, everybody else says it can't be done. I guess it can't be done. They'd have buried him in the desert with the rest of them. But he didn't go with the crowd. He didn't go with the majority. He didn't quit when they told him he was crazy. He lived in Hebron because he trusted God. Hebron was his prize. Let's stand. God, as we look at the text tonight, we realize that there are things worth waiting for. Even though we might have had them sooner had things worked out, we keep trusting you, believing you, and charging on until we can realize what you have set before us. So God, give us the vision of your heart, the purpose of your plan. Give us grace, forgive our sins, make us useful. Dismiss us now with your blessing. And bring us back safely, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.